You want to continue to pray and lift up these guys as they go forth. Many of them, a lot of decisions ahead as well. Some that already have made their plans and all, but be praying for them in the days ahead that God will just direct their paths as they keep their eyes upon Him. We're so proud of our graduates here at East Leesville Baptist Church and excited about their future. Today, what we want to do is, if you have a copy of God's Word, you'll take that out. Also, the sermon notes for today, hope you received a copy of that. You'll take that out. You fill in the blanks as we go this morning. Hey, you'll remember twice as much if you write it down. So I hope that you'll do that today. Also, if you're listening by way of the internet, you can click on the little icon there that will give you the notes. Everything that everyone receives here at church, you can receive that online as well. If you click it on further down, you actually see the answers for all of the questions, the fill in the blanks as well this morning. So today we're going to be talking about how to make wise decisions. It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. We all make decisions. We're constantly making those decisions every day. Somebody put it this way. They said that, hey, you're the person that you are today based upon the decisions that you made yesterday. And you'll become the person that you'll be tomorrow based upon the decisions that you make today. Right out of the gate, write this in your notes today. Listen, we make our decisions, and then our decisions make us. Researchers tell us that our generation today struggles with making decisions more than perhaps any generation before us. And there's reasons for that. First of all, write it down. We have more options today. And we have too many options. I mean, anything and everything in life, doesn't it? It seems like a multiple choice. I mean, even coming to church, you've got a multiple choice. You come to 8 o'clock, you can come to 9:30, you come 9:50, you come to 11 o'clock. So, I mean, there's multiple choice there. You go in a grocery store, all you want to do is just pick up a bag of toilet paper and what? I mean, it's like multiple choices everywhere. I mean, this is hard to make those decisions. So we have too many options. The second thing is, write it down, is one of the problems is what we call the illusion of perfection. The illusion of perfection. We're living in this first, really in the first generation to really experience what we call the illusion of perfection. And by this, I mean, most of us here today, we're probably on social media. I mean, somehow or another, whether it's Facebook or whatever it might be, we're on social media. And we see other people like Facebook. We look at their page and we say, oh, wow, that person, they like guys. They're like taking the perfect vacation, you know. Or we look at their picture, oh, man, like they got the perfect body. Or they put where they're going. They say, man, they're at the perfect restaurant, eating the perfect food. You know, they're in the perfect home. They're in a perfect house. They're in a perfect relationship. And then we look at our life and we go, man, my life stinks compared to theirs, you know. And so we compare all these other people and we feel like our life just doesn't measure up. So when it comes to making decisions, people many times they're afraid of making that decision because they're afraid that decision is going to be a wrong decision. It's going to be an imperfect decision. Another reason is, write it down, we've over-programmed our kids. We've over-programmed our kids. At least I can remember when I was a kid, my mama would say, all right, kid, you know, go outside and play, you know. So I'd go out, but I'd have to make decisions. Me and my buddies, we'd get together, and we would make decisions. Hey, are we going to build a fort today, you know? Are we going to ride our bicycles today? Or, you know, are we going to do, you know, climb trees? Are we going to play ball? All those different decisions that we had to make. Well, researchers tell us that we have overprogrammed our kids today to where parents have almost made every decision for them. I mean, you're going to play this sport, and then after you finish with this practice, you're going to go over here, and then after this, you're going to do this, and then you're going to do that. And so we've kind of like overprogrammed, and we think many times that we're helping our kids when really we're not enabling them or empowering them to make their own decisions. I mean, they haven't been able to grow. They haven't learned to use their own decision-making muscles. Proverbs 28, verse 26 says, those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. They tell us that we make something like 2,500 decisions every day. Some of them, we're not even conscious that we're, you know, consciously making them. We don't even realize that we're making these different types of decisions. Some are important and some aren't. You know, some have far-reaching consequences and others don't. They say that when a guy makes the decision to get married, that might very well be the last decision that he ever makes, you know. Now, I don't agree with that guy, but anyway, that's what they say. But anyway, life is a series of decisions, right? I mean, we're constantly, matter of fact, write this in your notes this morning. Our choices determine the direction of our life as well as the destiny of our life. I mean, that's how big, that's how your decisions that you make in your life impact your future. So when it comes to making decisions, most of we fall into one or two categories. Some of us, we can make snap decisions just like that. I mean, it is nothing to make those decisions. I mean, we don't even have to think about making those decisions. As somebody once said, they said our motto in life is ready, fire, and then aim. You know, that's kind of how we make those decisions. Just snap. Others are indecisive when they make decisions. They tend to procrastinate, which is kind of the downside of it. They suffer paralysis from analysis. They're frozen from making any decision because they just don't want to make the wrong decision. So, you know, they just procrastinated and sometimes don't even make it. But today, here's what I want to do. I want to just lay out and give you, notice in your notes today, I'm going to give you 10 questions to ask. When you're getting ready to make a decision in your life, you could take these 10 questions out, look at them, ask yourself these 10 questions, and it'll help you. Kind of give you a grid. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing this morning. We're looking in the book of Proverbs all the way through this message. We're going to be looking at the book of Proverbs. And what God has done is he's given us this grid. He's given us this filter. It's almost like he's given us. You ever been bowling and you've seen the little bumpers that they put in the gutters? You know, what are those little bumpers for? They're to keep that little bowling, keep the bowling ball in the middle. So that, I'd love to use those bumpers, but it looked pretty silly and all, you know, to use that grown man. But boy, it keeps it in the middle. And so somebody who's learning to bowl, they could bowl a lot easier, teach them a little bit more. Well, these 10 questions, that's what they're designed to do this morning, to kind of keep our life, keep our decisions in the middle, to make sure that we're in the center of God's will in our lives. So when it comes to making a choice, whether we should take this job or that job, or should I make this investment, should I buy this house or, you know, move here, should I go to this school or should I go to that college, you know, how do I make that decision? How do I make the right choices? So we're going to ask these 10 questions. Here it is. Number one, first one's very obvious question. It's simply this. Hey, am I fully entrusting this decision to the Lord? Am I fully entrusting this decision that I'm making to the Lord? Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your path. Notice that word trust there. Do you see it? It's a Hebrew word, and it simply means to put all of your weight on something. It's to put all of yourself on something, to lie down and to stretch out. It doesn't have the idea of when you lay down on a bed and you put your 2 feet on the floor, you know, the rest of your body on the bed, to where just in case that bed gives way, you know, you got your weight on your feet. That's not it at all. It's putting all of your weight. And so what he's saying here is this, that when we trust the Lord, we're putting all of our burden, all of our concern on him. We're trusting him. And notice it says, lean not on your own understanding. That word lean there, it means to prop yourself up on something. So what a lot of us do is we say that we're trusting God, but we're still leaning. We're still propping ourselves up on something else. Maybe what we want to do, or it might be on what other people want us to do. And so we're leaning on that instead of leaning on the Lord. But also notice that it says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. That word acknowledge, it means to look to see God. To look to see God. From the very time that you and I get out of bed, we ought to be looking for God. It means that we always keep God in mind. Every person that we meet, we're thinking, God, is this like a divine moment, appointment for me with this person to share with them? It's the idea of every conversation that we have. God, is this you speaking to me? Is this the person that you want me to be reaching out to? Is this the thought that you want me to be having in my life right now? And so it means looking to God in every area of our lives. And so when you look at that verse of Scripture, Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, notice here that first of all, we are to trust. And then we're to lean not on our own understanding. And then notice the third thing, he says, we're to acknowledge God in all of our ways. So what does God say? Once we do those three things, what does God say that he'll do then? He says that he'll make our path straight. In other words, he will bulldoze a trail for us. He'll open up the doors of opportunity. He'll show us exactly where we need to be and what he wants us to do. And so basically, we've got one of two choices. We can either trust him, as Proverbs 3 is talking about here, or either we can not trust him. We can rebel against his word. The word rebellion, write this in your notes this morning. Somebody has defined rebellion this way. Rebellion is reserving for myself the right to choose the final decision. I know that what God's word says and all, but this is what I'm going to do. You know, I've already made up my mind what I'm going to do. That's the definition of rebellion. But you see, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we don't get to make the final call on what we're going to do and what we're not going to do. Because the word of God has already made that for us when it comes to morality. We already know. Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but it's God who determines our steps. God doesn't always lay out the whole picture for us so that we can see, okay, this is exactly what I want you to do. But what he does is he gives us the first step. And then what he wants us to do, he wants us to trust him with that first step. And once we trust him with that first step, then he'll give us the second step. He'll show us what the second step is going to be. The psalmist says in Psalms 119, verse 105, he says, your word, God's word, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So he shows us exactly that next step, what it's going to be, not what it's going to be down the road. He gives us just enough revelation, you know, to take us to that next step. Matter of fact, write this in your notes this morning. God will never advance our instruction beyond our last act of disobedience. So if we're not obeying God and what he's already told us to do in the first step, then he's not going to show us what he wants us to do in the second step. And I think that's where a lot of us, we get stuck in this area. And what God's looking for in our life is this obedience. So he can show us, you know, hey, here's the next step. A lot of times we stay confused, we stay frustrated because we're not willing to move on to the second step and trust in God in the first step. All right, hey, here's the second question. Do I have the facts? Do I have all the facts? How many of us have made premature decisions because we didn't have all the facts? We look back over our life and say, man, I wish I would have had all that information before I made this decision. I mean, we do that, don't we? Proverbs 18:13 says to answer before listening, hey, that's folly and shame. Proverbs 18:17, the one who states his case first seems right until the other comes and examines him. A lot of times we'll say, hey, you know, there's always two sides. There's two sides of the coin. That's what he's talking about. Proverbs 13:16 says, every prudent man acts with knowledge. There are two basic types of people in this room this morning. There are those of us who are thinkers, and there are those of us who are feelers. Now, the thinkers, you want data. You're like, give me as much facts as you could possibly give me. You know, just the facts, ma'am. You know, feelers, we're kind of like this. You know, we kind of go with our gut. We kind of go with what feels right. We go with our emotions. You know, one person thinks with his left side of their brain, with their head. The other person thinks with their right side of their brain, you know, with their heart. And so we're either a thinker or a feeler when it comes to making decisions. And it's amazing how, in all of the services today, how balanced this is in these. Matter of fact, let's do that, all right, real quick. How many of you in this morning would consider yourself, you're like a thinker? I mean, you got to have the facts. You got to have the facts before you make the decisions and all that. Yeah, all right, very good, very good. How many of you are like me, man? We just kind of go with our gut. We're like the feelers, huh? Yeah, yeah, it's amazing. You know what's always also amazing is how thinkers and feelers get married to each other, you know? I mean, it's really amazing how that happens because the feelers usually help the thinkers off the cliff to make their decision, you know? And so, but we need both, right? We need both. Write this in your notes. We got to be careful not to make decisions based upon emotions. Kind of like the salesperson, they know this, don't they? I mean, the salespeople, man, they're like, if you just call in 2 minutes, you're going to be able to get a free bun blaster to go along with your ab blaster, you know? Or they'll give you something like this. Hey, listen, for just 4 payments of $29.99, you know, it could be yours, you know? They just play on our emotions. Proverbs 23, verse 23 tells us that we're to get the facts at any price. So we need to ask ourselves, hey, do I need to know? What do I need to know? And what do I not know? What do I need to know? And what do I not know? All right, got to keep moving. The third question in making decision, the third question you want to ask is, okay, what is the collective counsel of my godly friends? What's the collective counsel of my godly friends? Because a lot of times what God does is he speaks through our godly friends. Amen? I mean, we're very thankful for those in our life who are willing to give us godly counsel. I mean, I'll be talking to somebody sometimes, and it's always amazing how in the conversation with them, it's like God's speaking to me. God's just using them to give me wisdom, to give me advice. And the amazing thing about it is they don't even know it. You know, they don't even realize that they're helping me. But again, I mean, it's looking for God in every situation. It's looking for God in every conversation that we have. So what I'm saying is use those godly friends in your life to help you with your wisdom, with wisdom. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Proverbs 20, verse 18, plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise counsel. Proverbs 11, 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of what? Of counselors, there's safety. So listen, you and I, when we're making decisions, we need to make sure that we surround ourselves with people who are smarter than us, that are wiser than us sometimes, you know, that'll help us in these decisions. You say, but Brother Jeff, you know, I really, you know, I just don't want to ask questions of my friends because they'll think I'm stupid. No, listen, it's the opposite. I mean, according to the Bible, asking questions, it's not a sign of stupidity, but it's a sign of wisdom. So, again, remember, surround yourself with godly people that will help you, who are wise, that will help you with the decision. All right, number four. Fourth question is, hey, is the pressure of time forcing me to make a premature decision that I might not otherwise make? You ever felt that way? You ever felt pressured in making decisions? And sometimes you just make that decision just to get it over with, you know? And a lot of times we do that. Proverbs 19:2 says, desire without knowledge is not good, and whoever makes haste with his feet misses his way. Proverbs 17:24 says, an intelligent man aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. Fifth question, and that is, have I fully considered all the possible outcomes for each course of action that I'm considering? I think it's important. I mean, it's a huge part of making decisions. It's kind of like if you think about it, if you play chess, it's a lot like playing chess. You know, you're not just playing for the next move. You're playing for that opponent's counter move. And you're also playing for your next fifth move, sixth move, seventh move, you know, into the future, right? I mean, you realize when you're playing chess that every Every decision has a countermeasure. It has a possible outcome, whether it's good or bad. So we need to think through, okay, what's the possible outcomes that this decision that I'm about to make, what could it have? You got to think through those things. Proverbs 14, verse 15. But the prudent give thought to their steps. So don't just take your decisions lightly. I mean, that's the main thing. Don't just think, okay, if I'm just going to throw out a decision there and that'll be that. No, don't take it lightly. You know, always remember, listen, our choices, they're like a rudder of a ship that's guiding the direction that we're going to go in our life, literally guiding the destiny of our lives. Proverbs 20, verse 25 says, don't trap yourself by making a rash promise to God and only later counting the cost. Think about these possible outcomes. Here's what I want you to do. Look at your notes this morning. Let me give you, just write down these four principles when it comes to possible outcomes. Principle number one, hey, listen, you ought to avoid making a decision when you're physically or emotionally drained. All right, when you're physically or emotionally drained, don't make that decision. I mean, there are times, guys, we need to decide not to decide. Like when we're exhausted, when we're fatigued. Somebody once said that when fatigue walks in, faith walks out. Principle number two, you should never make a decision until you've sought the presence of God and you gain the peace of God in your life. I mean, sometimes we want something so badly, right, that even though we know this isn't God's best for my life, we know this isn't God's will for our life, and yet we still make the decision anyway. I mean, never move forward until you have the peace of God in your life. I mean, if there's this unrest in your spirit, then don't make the decision. The Bible says in Colossians 3:15 that we're to let the peace of God rule in our life. And that word rule is where we get our English word umpire from. All right, what does an umpire in a baseball game do? They call the shots, don't they? They call a shot. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying there in Colossians is, let the peace of God call the shots in your life. All right, principle number three, we don't make good decisions when our emotions are real high or real low. Kind of goes back to those sales pitches that we sometimes get, you know, from people, from sales reps. It's the idea kind of, you know, when you're in a grocery store, you never go grocery shopping when you're hungry, right? Because if you grocery shop when you're hungry, what, you end up buying a lot more than you ever need, you know, because those emotions kick in. Number four, principle number four, don't allow your dreams and desires to become an idol where you're pursuing them more than you're pursuing God. And for us as followers of Christ, this is a huge point, a huge principle. I mean, I've seen people with such strong desires, I mean, even for good things, like for marriage or that promotion or to have a baby, and all those dreams and desires literally consume them. I mean, that's all that they think about. The psalmist in Psalms 37, verse 4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. In other words, when he becomes the delight of our heart, guess what happens? His desires for our life become our desires for our life. And that's what God wants in our life. Number six, the sixth question, could this decision jeopardize my integrity or hinder my witness for the Lord in any way? If you're a believer, you know you've got an enemy. His name is Satan, who walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. In other words, his goal in your life is to ruin your life. And if he can ruin your life by you not even considering how important this decision is, you know how our decisions affect our lives. Proverbs 25, verse 26 says, like a muddied spring or a polluted well are the righteous who give way to the wicked. You see, when we compromise our integrity or we allow a decision to hinder our witness, Solomon says, we're like a muddied spring. Number seven. Seventh question is, so, okay, how should my past experience
inform this decision? I mean, our past plays a huge part in our decision making. I mean, if you're like me, I mean, I'm old enough now to have made a lot of wrong decisions in my life. You know, some bad decisions in my life. So when I get ready to make that decision again, I'm looking back. I'm doing some history lessons here in my life, looking back and say, you know what? That wasn't a good idea then. It's probably not a good idea right now. Because our past, it tells us what our triggers are into sin many times, and also helps us to see those lessons that we learned a long time ago. So what has our past taught us about the decision that we're about to make? Proverbs 26 verse 11 says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Folly. Well, that's real appetizing this morning, isn't it, to hear that? A dog who returns to his vomit and he eats that vomit, he goes back to it, and you know, you're looking at your dog when he does something like that, and you're thinking like, what are you doing? That makes no sense. That is so disturbing. And yet the Bible says that when we go back to the same sin over and over again, the Bible is saying that's disgusting. God's like, why are you doing that? I saved you from that. You're better than that. Proverbs 16:25 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. So we ought to learn from our past so that it doesn't hinder us in our present decisions that we make. All right, number eight, the eighth decision this morning, eighth question we need to ask, and that is, hey, have I honestly considered the warning signs? Have I honestly considered the warning signs? Proverbs, as you study Proverbs, you see there are a lot of warning signs when it comes to making decisions. Proverbs 16:25, there's a way, again, that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. I mean, we've experienced those times when we're thinking about something and, man, it feels right, it looks right, it seems logical, but we know it violates some of these other questions, every other question that we covered this morning that we're dealing with, and we do it anyway, and then we realize, oh, man, that was a mistake. Should have done that. Proverbs 27, verse 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. Because let's just be honest, there are some times that our friends will tell us things that otherwise other people would never tell us. Our enemies would never say certain things to us. When a friend comes to us and says, you know what, listen, I know you're making this decision in your life. Here's what I see, and I'm just going to tell you, I don't think this looks good. I don't think this is something you need to do. I just think you need to spend some more time praying about it before you make that decision. See, a friend will do that for us. An enemy, they'll sit back and say, you know what, I really don't care what happens to you. You know, if you fall, no big deal, but not a friend. Proverbs 10:17 says, whoever heeds instruction is on the path to life. But listen to this, but he who rejects reproof leads others astray. So when we're making decision, are we looking, are we noticing the warning signs that are there about this decision? Are we heeding and hearing those signs, or are we doing our own thing? A battleship once was on exercise in the sea in bad weather, and the captain was on the bridge and all, and it was foggy. It was just after dark, and they looked out, and they spotted a light there on the seaboard side. And the lookout replied that it was a light. The captain asked him, is it a light that is steady or moving? And the lookout replied and said the light was steady, meaning that they were on a direct collision course with the ship. And so the captain ordered the lookout to signal to the other ship, change your course 20 degrees. We're on a collision course. And the signal came back, advisable for you, change your course. And the captain signaled, listen, I am a captain. Change your course 20 degrees. And the signal replied, came back, hey, I'm a seaman second class. You had better change your course 20 degrees. And the captain replied back. He was furious this time. And he said, I am a battleship. Change your course. In which was the reply came back, I am a lighthouse. Your call, you know. And I think that's the way we are sometimes. I mean, the reality is so many times that we see the warning signs. We're hearing the warning signs. Change your course. Don't do this. Don't go there. Don't make this choice. And yet we ignore it over and over again to our own demise. To our own demise. Listen to the advice, the wise wisdom that people, that our friends have that are around us. Number nine, the ninth question. For better or for worse, what are the possible motives that could be driving this decision? What are the possible motives that could be driving this decision? Quite honestly, folks, listen, a lot of times I don't even understand my own motives sometimes. You know, I struggle with what my motives are many, many times. Proverbs 16:2 says, all a person's ways seems pure to them, but motives are weighed by the Lord. People say, you know, Brother Jeff, I had the right heart, I had the right motive in this, and I'm like, I know, but again, it's God who's the one who weighs our motives. What Proverbs 29 says, who can say, I have made my heart pure, for I am clean from my sin? Proverbs 21, verse 2, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart. I mean, we have to look and check our motives in the decision-making process. We need to ask ourselves, okay, is the desire to the fact that I just want to fit in, is that why I'm making this decision? Or maybe we need to ask ourselves, is it a desire for significance? Is that why I'm working these 70, 80 hours a week so that, you know, I could get that promotion? I mean, a lot of times it's fear and insecurity. Many times those are those hidden motives that we're not even aware of when we're making decisions. But it just drives so many of us of our own decisions. So check your motives. Check your motives. Number 10, the 10th question, last one. Hey, is there a better option? We need to ask ourselves, is there a better option that would allow me to make a greater impact for God's kingdom? You know, what should be our vision in this decision? What should be our motivation for our impact? Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. The King James translates that as the person who wins souls is wise. I mean, that's our kingdom impact. I mean, at some point, we've got to say, Lord, is this what I should be doing? Or is there another option that would result in me making a better impact for eternity upon your kingdom as a result of me making this decision? Because sometimes what we do is we only look and say, oh, is the money going to be good? You know, is the location going to be good? And we never spend time asking, hey, listen, is this going to impact God's kingdom? You know, is this what God wants me to do? I mean, at some point, we've got to decide. We've got to make the choice to choose. The word decision comes from the Latin word meaning I'm committed to achieving a result. You know, I'm cutting myself off from any other possibility. Write this in your notes. It's the last thing to write down. Listen, you'll never leave where you are until you decide where you'd rather be. And so this morning, what I'm challenging you to do is to take these 10 questions, very simple questions, use them as a grid. Use them as a filter when you're making decisions. Use them as those bumpers, you know, at the bowling alley. Just use them as bumpers in the bowling alley of your life in making decisions. Because listen, if we'll take the opportunity, we'll take the time to walk through this, watch what happens in the decision-making process. So take this. You may not have decisions that you're making right now in your life, but I promise you, in the near future, you probably will. Take this out, lose that, and use that. Let's bow in prayer, okay, as we wrap it up this morning. Father, I just want to say to you right now, thank you. Thank you for giving us so much wisdom in Proverbs. You've given us this You've given us this filter. You've given us the bumpers of the bowling lanes of life to help us in making wise decisions that will not only impact our future, but even eternity. God, I pray this morning for those who might be here who have never made a decision to give their whole heart and their soul in their life to you. Maybe they're just clinging on to what this world has to say about eternity. Just be good. Just go to church every now and then. And yet, we know your word tells us there's only one way to heaven, and that is through your Son, Jesus Christ. By accepting what he did on the cross for us personally, committing our lives to you and just surrendering to you. God, I pray for those today who need to make that decision. I pray that they'll just be willing to pray something like, "Dear Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Take control of me. Be my Lord, be my Savior. I just place my faith in you. And I'm trusting in you for my salvation. So right now, I just turn away from the way that I've been living. And right now, God, I turn to you. I just want to be your disciple for the rest of my life." If you pray that prayer, you meant it with all your heart. Will you just pray, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming into my heart and my life right now." God, that's what we pray for today. God, we pray that in our decisions that we will glorify you. Lord, I pray for those today who need to make a decision about a church home. God, they sense even right now your Holy Spirit drawing them to this place to make it their church home. Lord, I pray that they would choose to decide today to make that decision. For others, Father, who maybe have already put their faith and trust in you, but they haven't followed through in believer's baptism, that very first act of obedience after we get saved is not what saves us. And God, they're wrestling with that. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, you just give them the courage to make that decision today, to walk, step out, and Lord, just get with us and set up a time for that baptism to take place. Father, I pray for others today who need to rededicate their heart and their life. They know they're not where they ought to be in their walk with you right now. And God, I just pray that they just come home. God, that they just repent, just make an about face from the direction they're going away from you. And God, that they'll turn to you today and to receive your loving arms around them today of forgiveness. Father, again, Lord, I pray for those today who maybe just are struggling in life. And God, I just pray today, if there's anybody here who'd like to have somebody pray with them, God, that they'd just step out and come to one of us. We'd love to pray with them today. God, we just pray that in this time of invitation, that you will be glorified. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.